Blog Talk Radio.
Clarence Fountain and the Blind Boys, they say, ain't he all right? Look where he brought me from. The Blind Boys of Alabama is a wonderful way to start our program on this evening. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and I am Gernard Reed, your host. Our contact information, as always, is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. Our phone number associated with this broadcast is 804-313-7853. Do text, do call, do email us. Tell us how we're doing. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Let us know. Give us some feedback how it's going. We do come to you tonight in tandem with the Fivefold Ministry and Apostle Margie Mercer. We are delighted to come before you with a teaching on this evening, with a word from the Lord. And we ask and invite you to get pencil, pen, paper, Bibles. Pencil, pen, paper, Bibles. And let's have a good time for the next 30 minutes as we delve into God's word to find out what the word has for us on this evening. I'm starting a new series. We do apologize. On last Friday, we were knocked off the air, so we did not have a broadcast. And we were going to begin a series on idolatry and idolatry associated with the Christmas season. Tonight I'm going to give you something I guarantee a bunch of people have not heard before. And so let's get right into it. First of all, let's get into idolatry. I talk about Jeremiah Speaks broadcast or Jeremiah Speaks ministry is dedicated to addressing idolatry in the local church. Local church is a Baptist term. The local church simply means the church in the local community, the church that we go to, the church that we belong to. That's called the local church. And Baptists believe that there's authority and power right there centered in our local churches. And so addressing idolatry in the local church, watch this. Now, many probably know this already, that we live in a culture that is, as Paul said, or as Luke wrote in the book of Acts in chapter 17, we live in a culture that's steeped wholly in idolatry, that we cannot step off our front porch without seeing idolatry. And it's so enmeshed into our culture that we don't even realize it. You know how there are some things outside that are probably unsafe, sharp objects and whatnot, that you've been there so long, you just go around them with your eyes closed. You don't even think about them anymore. But they're dangerous to somebody that does not know. And that's kind of the way the idolatry is. Now, we know that in the Ten Commandments, our guideline, our gauge for sin, in the Ten Commandments, we find that God is hard on idolatry. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. That's idolatry. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's idolatry. And then number 10, is thou shalt not covet what thy neighbor has. That's greed. That's idolatry. And so three of our commandments are devoted to idolatry, but at the same time, we don't think much about it in this culture that we live in. I remember having an essay at the first day of school every year. Write a paper, because teachers sometimes weren't always ready for you. Write a paper, and they wanted to see what your writing style was and how well you could do using language. But write a paper about who you idolize. Who is your idol? Well, I grew up in a church where that was an abomination. I don't talk about who I idolize and who my idol is. Almighty God is all I got. And even Almighty God says, don't you make no pictures of me. Don't you take any pictures of me. Don't you make any graven images of me. Don't you carve an idol of me. Don't you have a likeness of me, the baby Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. Don't do any of that, because you believe me for who I am and your relationship with me. We don't need something for you to worship in place of me. So God is hard on idols. He hates idols. Hates idolatry. Even when we idolize God, he doesn't like that either. That God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So look how steep we are in idolatry. Look at our days of the week. Sunday honors the sun god. Monday honors the moon god. Tuesday honors Mars, whom the Saxons call Teuts. Wednesday is the Teutonic god Wedden, or Wooden, also known as Mercury amongst the Greeks. Thursday, planet Jupiter, later named in honor of the Teutonic god Thor. So Thursday for Thor. And Friday is the planet Venus, later named in honor of the Teutonic goddess Frigg or Freya. Friday. And then Saturday in honor of the Roman god named Saturn. All seven of our days of the week. Now, and think about it. Stop and think about it. How often do we go through a day without calling the name of that day? So today is Friday. Thank God it's Friday, and happy Friday. It's the beginning of the weekend and all of that. Well, so automatically we're speaking in honor of a God other than the living and true God. But let's go a little further. The months of the year. That's a mess. Months of the year are a mess. They attribute to everybody except our God. January is to the Roman god Janus, the god of beginnings and transitions. He has two faces, but it's called Janus. February, the Roman Februm festival of general expiation and purification. It's a cleansing festival for the Roman gods. March, in honor of the Roman god Mars, the god of war. April, from the Latin meaning to open. So April used to be the beginning of the year. From the Latin meaning to open, the earth opens to produce. May, Greek goddess Maya, also known in the Greek as messenger goddess. June, Roman goddess Juno, protector and special counselor. These are all other gods. And then the calendar got changed because of who was ruling the world at the time. So because the Caesars were ruling and Romans ruled the world, as they say, July was dedicated as name for Julius Caesar. That's a man that we're paying tribute to. Bad enough. August was Augustus Caesar. Then September through December were derived from Latin numbers. So September through December were not tributes to gods, but to because of the number of the month. Now, you notice they don't match. The month and number no longer match because they had to add Julius and Augustus Caesar and then mess the calendar up. Maybe I should do a little bit more. Let's look at our holidays, which comes from holy days. We already talked about the New Year's and Janus in the Julian calendar in 44 B.C. That's before Christ. We came up with the New Year's celebration. Valentine's Day is rooted in the Roman festival of fertility. It's a lot of festivals of fertility out there. That's the number one reason for pagan holidays is fertility. Adults in the room know what that's about. Lupercalia was the festival of fertility in February or that time of the year. And the Catholics renamed it Valentine's Day. And then there's St. Patrick's Day. Well, I love that holiday. That's a real, true, real holiday. Of course, folk drink green beer or ale and get drunk on that day to celebrate, but still, it has its roots in St. Patrick. the patron saint of Ireland. Then there is what we call Easter. Easter is the high day of the Christian church. It's the highest day of our church if you're talking celebration. Easter is the highest it goes. Only problem with that is Easter is named, it's an ancient celebration for Ishtar, another goddess of fertility. So you mean the highest day of our church is named after another god. Lord have mercy. Notice Jesus has no names in these days here. Okay. Let's see. I don't even want to mention Halloween because we know better. Let's see. And Christmas. We're going to talk about Christmas tonight a little bit. Christ Mass is where the word actually comes from the Roman Catholic Church. And they tried to do well. They thought that if they put that name on a pagan holiday, that it would change the purpose and the meaning of it. No, you just have a pagan holiday with a Christian name. So, let's see. I don't want to go any deeper. Every aspect of our society is permeated with paganism and idolatry practices, which do what? They draw us away from God. That is the purpose of these things. The Roman Catholics came along, saw the pagans celebrating these ridiculous days, doing this ridiculous stuff, all these goddesses and celebrations of fertility. So the Roman Catholics said, I know what we'll do. We'll put a Christian name on them and tell you that it's in celebration of our God. Well, it never worked. I guess it was worth a shot. It didn't work, and what we have now is a mess, the remnants of that. God uses the example of marriage and fidelity. Keep that in mind. Their festivals were all about fertility, and I mean, this is a family program, so I don't want to go too far, but keep in mind that God, throughout the Bible, uses the example of marriage, whereas God is married to the church. Jesus is married to the church. Jesus is coming back for his bride, the church, without a spot or a wrinkle. Jesus is, the Lamb is married to the church, and God uses that marriage. God instituted and ordained the first marriage, which was between Adam and Eve. And so marriage is a concept that goes through. We're going to come back to that. Okay, we're going to leave that alone. But that was a good opener, I think. Good opener. And we're going to take a look at something tonight. I'm going to start with my childhood. As a first grader, I learned to read in a novel self-directed reading program called Fun with Nip and Tab. Yes, I remember my first grade reader. Throughout first and second grade, a select group of us excelled in this series, allegedly taking us to a fifth grade reading level by the end of the second grade. A good series as far as teaching how to read. It was cutting edge, state of the art. But here's the thing. Nip and Tab spent 2 years telling the wonderful story of Greeks and Roman mythology. 6 to 8 year old students were being told and taught these stories and constantly tested. So you were tested as you went along in the series. Before you could go to the next page, you had to test on that page and then reread it, test till you got all the answers right. So we were becoming experts on Roman and Greek mythology as we were tested for our comprehension. We needed to know who Mercury and Messenger were, who was Pan and Pandora, who was Zeus and Jupiter, the kings of the gods, Hades and Pluto, gods of the underworld, and Neptune and Poseidon, gods of the sea. This was a clever indoctrination of the innocent into the world of multiple, many gods. Erstwhile, on Sundays, we worshipped one no-name god. Fortunately, I had questions in parents and Sunday school teachers who answered my questions. Let the church say amen. That was fortunate for me. My point here is we live in a world that's filled with references and even tributes to all kinds of gods and goddesses. As God told Jeremiah in the chapter 10, verse 5b, be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. These many gods that our stars are named after, that our moons are named after, that our zodiacs are named after, they have power to do neither good nor bad, but they do stand as something to stand between us and the true and living God, who says, worship no other gods but me. So just because many of our common or everyday exploits are laced with wicked references, we're not doomed by it. We are, after all, as Christians, called to be in the world, but not of the world. As Christians, we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. However, just as God in Acts chapter 15, 29, we ought to memorize that. That is the Jerusalem Council and the outcome of the Jerusalem Council. That's a powerful council that we ought to memorize that verse, Acts 15, 29. It wants us to avoid food that's offered to idols. Likewise, he does not want us bringing him recycled idolatry and calling it praise. That's what we're talking about tonight. My God, the true and the living God, the one that we're talking about tonight, the God of the Bible, Jesus, Holy Spirit, God the Father, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the true and living God makes it plain. He wants to go to him and not to other gods. He does not want to share his time with other gods. Man cannot worship God and mammon. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve, whether it's all those other gods that your ancestors and the people of this land served, or if it's the true and living God that has led us out of Egypt, out of the desert, out of the wilderness and into the promised land. You must choose one or the other. That's the God that we serve. That has not changed. So then God is also saying, I don't want you to go give something to another God who's not even living, and after you finish your worship to him, then bring it to me. I don't want it. I don't want it. So imagine yourself when you find out that the engagement ring, talk to me, ladies, that you find that the engagement ring that you are sporting and so proud of had been given to two other girlfriends before he gave it to you. Ouch. Back to that marriage principle. I know that hurts some kind of bad, but you've been showing everybody this ring. Look at this diamond, all shined up, fits your finger just perfect. And then you find out that he gave this and got it back from two other women and then gave it to you. I don't care how much it costs. I do not know a lady that will be happy with that ring. I don't care if it's worth $15,000, $20,000. Who wants a ring that the other women had? Oh, let me move on. God wants first fruits. He doesn't want the praise that was given to worthless gods of the deep. He doesn't want a festival that was begun by the pagans. He doesn't want our Christmas and Easter named for pagan gods. Lord have mercy. God wants the first fruit. Christmas, the celebrated birthday of many Eastern gods on December 25th. You heard what I said? Christmas, look it up, Google it now, so you can do it in 10 seconds, is the celebrated birthday of many Eastern gods on December 25th. And thus the celebration of Saturnalia, which began 133 years before Christ was born. So we're talking about a celebration that when Jesus got there, the party had been jumping for 133 years, and Jesus wasn't invited and never been a part of it. But then we call it Jesus' birthday. That's the garbage that has confused the Jews, that confused Jews' experience while they were in Babylon. Jews were taken away to Babylon because of that disobedience. They lost the Judean countryside. They lost Jerusalem. Judah was taken away captive for 70 years. While 70 years in captivity in Babylon and later under Cyrus and the Persians, they were indoctrinated with the Babylonian way of thinking, which was corrupt, evil, and just dead wrong. Many gods, and they taught them how to take the practices that the Jews had been given by their personal god and use them for these other gods. And so that when they did that, after 70 years, that next generation that came back home to Judea brought those evil practices with them. And that's what we're working with here. 133 years before Christ, they had started they had bought into these celebrations and have nothing to do with our God, that are below our God. Jesus was not born in winter. There is no record or scripture of him or anyone else celebrating an annual birthday for Jesus. Then why is the festival the height of the Christian calendar? We know that we're pretty sure that Jesus was 33 plus years old when he died because of the events that happened around it, not because he celebrated his birthdays. We know that because scholars have been able to pinpoint things that happened during Jesus' ministry that pinpoint what year this happened, what year he was baptized, and so on and so forth. But We never celebrated his birthday. Well, why is that important? Not really that important, but why is the festival the height of the Christmas calendar? Because everybody else was doing it. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because all the other worshipers of their gods had this Saturnalia celebration at the end of the year, and they just had a funky good time. And then when the Christians came along, the Roman government said, well, we don't like that. They got something that our folk want and can't have. So Christians jumped in and took over the festival. But it's still meat that is first offered to idols. We still do in the festival to our God what they did for their gods and think that our God is pleased. That's the same behavior, same attitude that caused Judah to be taken away captive, that caused the northern 10 tribes to be destroyed to never come back. At least Judah came back. They never came back. So God was frustrated with his people because his people would go serve other gods and then bring that garbage back to them. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? So think about it. You have a child, and that child goes to summer camp for the summer and comes back cussing and carrying on and talking about a whole bunch of foolishness and garbage, stuff that you didn't teach that child. And now you're trying your hardest to unteach them, but they're saying, Dad, I got a good vocabulary, and now I'm blessing you. Lord have mercy. Well, I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings. But let's move on. So what I'm talking about here in this series is the truth. It's in the Word. Let's go to the Word. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 8th chapter and the 14th verse. Just one verse. So all we're going to do tonight is one verse, if we can get to that. Ezekiel 8:14. I'm reading from the King James. In Ezekiel 8:14, then he brought me to a door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. That's the whole 14th verse. God says to Ezekiel, I'm going to show you and about to allow the people to be taken away captive. I'm going to show you what they were doing in my temple. I'm going to show you. He says, he shows them the first vision, and then the second vision, he shows them three. The second vision is 8:14. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, the temple, which was toward the north. So this is the north gate. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Well, what in the world is wrong with that? In chapter 8, God reveals three sources of his anger and jealousy toward Judah. Not happiness, three sources of his anger and jealousy. Idolatry, worship of other gods in the true God's temple. Wait a minute, excuse me. This the house with my name on it, and you in here worshiping somebody else. This is the house that I built. I blessed you to have and built the greatest temple. And you in my temple worshiping another god. It's like learning that your husband brought another woman into your own chamber in your house when you weren't there. Oh, boy, this hurts. Lord have mercy. Ouch. Idolatry is not pretty. That's the way idolatry is to God. And then we live in a time and a culture that's so saturated with idolatry that we don't even recognize it when we see it. We hear people say, well, my son grew up idolizing Michael Jordan. But there's something wrong with that. The number one show for 10 years was American Idol. We think God's pleased with that. Oh, yeah, God understands. God is cool. He changes with the times. No, I change not. That's what he said. So idolatry is not pretty. Number two of this despicable act is verse 14, weeping for Tammuz. Well, what does that mean? Tammuz, a Mesopotamian god from the time of Abraham, reinvented by the Babylonians by the time of Hezekiah. Tammuz was a god who married the goddess Ishtar. Know that name? That's where we get the name Easter. Now, Tammuz was put to death by the gods of the underworld. You know all of this is fiction. It's not true, but this is what they allegedly believe. He was put to death by the gods of the underworld, but is resurrected every year. Jesus was resurrected one time. Tammuz resurrected every year, just for a couple months to do a particular task. Women weep for his untimely death to spur his annual resurrection. So they believe that he won't be resurrected unless enough women weep for him. Men don't weep for Tammuz. Men don't? No, we don't. He is alleged to bring fertility. Women even carried little carvings of a certain likeness of his fictional anatomy. This is a family hour, so I can't tell it like it is, but there's a particular organ, allegedly, that's exaggerated, and that the women would, it's an idol, it's a carved idol, and they would take that with them, and they would weep for Tammuz, and folks still do. We have the likenesses of this idol all around us, too, but it's a family hour. It was said to bring fertility and good luck. God gave us fertility when he created Adam and Eve. That fertility is still working. Anyhow, they didn't know that. Tammuz was born on... I need to clear my throat. Give me a second. Tammuz was born on December 25th at the end of Saturnalia. His birthday was annually celebrated by the pagans long before Jesus was ever born. His birthday is celebrated annually by the pagans by, you guessed it, Christmas trees, drunkenness, festivals, foods, and exchanging gifts. Boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? My goodness. Wow. Remember your God, my God. Remember his position on food, meat that was offered to idols and then given to him. Remember that. Acts 15:29. It's important. The women were in God's temple weeping for Tammuz. Do we really think God is pleased when we replicate that festival, offer it to him, and say to him in so many words, Jesus, you better like this because we are celebrating your birthday with all of the garbage that was given to other gods before you. Wow. So God is looking down on us celebrating with drunkenness, Christmas trees, with gifts and to each other, and all kinds of foods and festivals. When the same God in Leviticus 17 to 21 tells us this is how you do a festival. If this is the best festival you could possibly have, I'm going to show you how to do a festival that works every time. Anyhow, we don't do God's festival. In Genesis 4:3, Cain brought God an offering, and God rejected it because it was not the first fruit. Cain was the first person in scriptures to give an offering to God, but Cain took of what he wanted and gave God what was left. It's not good. God rejected Cain's offering, and we know bad things happen after that. Christmas is not a first fruit offering from Christians. It is a takeoff on what pagans used to do for their gods. We're copying what they used to do. Who likes a copycat? God sure does not. It is a takeoff on what they used to do. We now do that for our God. He's getting sloppy seconds. I remind you of the message in Acts 15:29. Avoid food offered to idols. Avoid recycled praise. God desires our best, not the pagans' leftovers. Once again, imagine your rage when you find out that that man gave you the ring that his other boo used to wear. Ha! Join us next week as Jeremiah speaks, goes into holiday mode, and looks into a certain ballad and ode that we all know and have sung. And we're going to look at the real meaning behind that and see what they tricked us into singing. This has been the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We're happy to come to you on Monday through Friday, 7 p.m., immediately followed by the Fivefold Ministry and Apostle Margie Mercer. This is Gernard Reed signing out. May the Lord bless and keep you. Stay tuned for the Fivefold Ministry.
And all I can say is, ouch! Good God Almighty, Lord have mercy. Reverend Reed.
Amen.
Reed.
Amen.
Without Jesus. God bless you so much. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, and all I can say is that I'm lost without Jesus. We just heard CeCe and BB Winans, I'm Lost Without You, and God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. God bless you. Let us have just a good time just to sit back after a hard week and just relax and enjoy worshiping God, listening to good music and music that can relax and soothe us on this evening. God bless you all over the world. I speak to all the country and nations and leaders, and we are lost without Jesus. God bless you. Amen. As you keep your head to the sky, be hopeful, be optimistic. You just heard from the sounds of blackness. Truly, we have to have an optimistic attitude that we love the Lord, that we are born again, and that we should treat each other the way we want to be treated as our brothers. God bless you again. Truly, thank you so much for listening to us. I consider you our friends. We consider you our listeners, and we thank you for being on board with us. This is our disclaimer that we play different sounds of music to just hear beautiful harmony and sounds and to encourage people to listen to those artists who own the rights to their music. So we just want you to encourage you to just buy those CDs and always be optimistic. Music makes me optimistic. Music just put me in a different frame of mind that I truly, truly just can just relax or base myself and just sometimes think about things in my life, but think about how God has brought me through. That I remember the time, as I said before, being an orphan, born in a car, and that God has blessed me to have a family. And I truly remember the times with my mom and dad and those enemies as well as friends, but I had to be optimistic because my mama said, she always said, baby, you just keep looking to Jesus. He sits high and he look low, and God going to make a way out of no way. So God bless you. As we dance with my father, with Luther Vandross, let us go in and have a good time this evening. God bless you. Amen. Nice when you can remember family and friends that have gone on, the good times that you had with them. Truly, it was a blessing. And the best thing about it is that when you have eternal life and you have accepted the death, burial, and resurrection, that we have a chance to see loved ones again. Because my mama, I'm a mama's girl, she was my best friend. I loved a lot of people, but my mother, good God Almighty, I would fight you behind my mother. And say, I lay hands on you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us listen to Patti LaBelle. You are my friend. I hope you're my friend this evening. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Yes, the songwriter says, I've been looking around and you've been there all the time. Good God Almighty. Isn't it beautiful to know that when you need a friend that you can think about those who write around you who means you good, not those who mean you bad, that you have a friend. So much is going on in the world that all you can say is, Lord, have mercy. Matter of fact, I feel like listening to Mercy, Mercy Me by Marvin Gaye. God bless you. Let us sit back and enjoy ourselves this evening. Amen. Marvin Gaye has sang the song, Mercy, Mercy Me. Things are not like they used to be. There's so much that's going on in this world, truly, that we have to be optimistic, hold our head up, and we have to be devoted to the cause, you know, devoted to who we are as human beings, that we have to love each other, the way we love ourselves, and, of course, love God more. Let us listen to now Devotions by Earth, Wind, and Fire. God bless you. Amen. Yes, the songwriter says that we need devotions to even have a brighter day, that we have to just enjoy what's around us, be optimistic, you know, have the positive in our life, ignore those things that, as so many people say, get on your nerves and, you know, just mess up your day. But put a smile on your face to know that you're in the land of the living. A holiday is coming. Just, you know, just wake up and know that we are enjoying each other in this time in need of season, where you hear about COVID, you hear about wars, rumors of wars, you see different things going on the news. It is so much going on that you have to just stay encouraged regardless what it looked like and what it seems like. You know, when you listen to the songs of different artists, there's some positive message in those songs. You know, a lot of people say it's carnal, it's worldly, but it's a lot of things that if you listen to the good and not always find the bad or try to look at the negative, but be positive and optimistic, you can hear a lot of good things that goes on and what the writers and the artists are putting in this song. Just like we're going to listen to Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes with Teddy Pendergrass, Wake Up Everybody. Amen. Thank you. I love it. It says that they can't do it alone, that we have to wake up and love everybody and treat everybody how we want things to be, that it takes all of us to try to live right, try to treat each other right, and try to even treat yourself right. Hey, hallelujah, because God is looking to us, that we are his creation. We have to know that he can do anything but fail. We have to be optimistic and have a positive attitude. Just like my mama said, baby, God sits on the right hand. He make petition for you. Keep your head looking up. So keep your head looking up. Matter of fact, I want to hear Earth, Wind, and Fire again. Keep your head to the sky. Let us look up tonight, all right? God bless you. Amen.
Thank you.
That things came along to make me strong. Yes, it did. So I want to say to you, keep your head up, stay positive, and whatever you do, don't give up on yourself, that God loves you. He died on the cross for you so that you could keep your head up, look up, feel up, be up, and know that you are up in Jesus. God bless you again. You've been listening to the Fivefold. You've been listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. And let us close out on just a little word here, and God bless you again. Amen.
Tell yourself Deuteronomy 28, I am the head and not the tail. Tell yourself Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Tell yourself Psalm 20, in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Tell yourself, Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Tell yourself, Job 13, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Tell yourself, Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh,
they stumbled and they fell. God bless you. Speak the words of life over yourself. God will get you through the rough times in your life, that God can do anything but fail. And we are witnesses that he still lives. Amen. God bless you again as we close out. Stay encouraged until we talk to you again on Sunday mornings. Amen.
That you thought you'd never stop crying, but God stood you back up on your feet again. And you can testify, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, joy,
hey,
joy comes in the morning. I need somebody here who's lost something that you thought you'd never stop crying, but God stood you back up on your feet again. And you can testify, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, joy, joy comes in the morning.